Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive!
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Is it?
What's up with it, Rita?
Hello.
You're sustaining a life right now. I can see you in your puku.
Mm-hmm. It's getting harder and harder to walk up that hill and then up the stairs.
Don't make it.
I'm puffing away like I've run a marathon.
No, we look like baddies because we haven't given you a lift opportunity. There are lifts actually that get up these, that can bypass these stairs.
No, it's all right. It's good to get a bit of exercise.
Okay, well, we're back on
the
playing
field. There you go. We're moving on.
What's on the agenda, shall we say?
Well, I wanted to say firstly a big congratulations to everyone that's in their last week of Plastic Free July, and hopefully you've taken away some great lifelong habits. And I thought next week we could maybe chat to someone who's got lots to teach us about what she's learned in the last month. I've been watching people and even I've gone, wow, that's a great idea. Really got to start going to the bin in more often, you know?
Yeah, bin in's tight. I actually took my mum around to bin in the other day and she was like, the fuck? She reckons they've upped their game quite a lot.
I think, I need to go to one.
She never used to mess with bin in. Took her to the bin in Tauranga as we're wandering around there. Because that's where my parents live now because, god damn it.
And that's where everyone retires, isn't it?
I reckon.
They're all everywhere.
They're working still. That's where they moved from. So explain that. bin in for life, definitely. It looks badass. Yeah, going in there, totally. You get all sorts of bin in needs. John's pouting, he's keen.
Less plastic, so it's a good
plastic,
thing.
So yeah, we'll
actually, the bins are plastic at bin in, so a little bit.
Yeah, but they don't change them.
Yeah, that's true.
So still less plastic. Anyway, today though, I thought we'd talk about something that's been a little bit in the news today, and thought it was a good opportunity to kind of explain it a little bit more if you have seen it. So we are in the middle of winter, although in Auckland it doesn't feel like it. It feels pretty warm and pretty dry. Very dry, actually.
It feels like we've gotten through the worst of the winter, which is really strange.
I don't know if anyone's been out west recently, but the dams are so low. They're the lowest I've ever seen in my life. I've
gone out west for different purposes.
It's the driest 6 months in Auckland's history.
Yeah.
Recorded history.
Wow. I think... But watch this space for some more water shortages, no doubt. But anyway, around the country is wetter, and that is where the cows are.
No.
Not many cows in Auckland.
We're talking Southland? South Island farmers?
Southland.
Now intensive dairy?
Yes. So anywhere where there's a lot of cows, basically. Mm. So Southland and Taranaki also has quite a few cows, and I've been reading that they've got this problem.
Ah, cool.
Parts of the Waikato, but I'm not entirely sure. I haven't seen any you know, evidence of that this year, but I'm, you know, I live down there. It rains a lot normally. Mm. So basically winter feeding.
Do they get cold?
Cows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little bloody buggers.
Oh, I actually thought that they didn't. And when I moved to New York, I took my, at the time, leather jacket that I owned with me for warmth.
Someone sit you down.
Mate, it did not take long before I realised that leather jackets don't do shit in cold weather. Anyway, they're definitely about the style. So what's kind of happened is because we've got more access to things like drones, I think we're starting to see the extent of what winter feeding is actually doing. And as soon as the public starts seeing it, and especially, you know, urbanites like us who aren't used to farms, when you start actually seeing the damage that it's been done, it's quite shocking. So just a little recap on what winter feeding is. Because grass doesn't really grow very much in winter, and combined with the fact that we've overstocked our land, so there's more cows per hectare than we've ever had before, there isn't enough food in the wintertime for them. So in about June they move them. I believe there's actually like a moving day for cows to new parts.
Yeah. Pun City.
Yeah, totally. Pun City. and they move them to new pastures, like people own farms that are bit.
John just got it. I saw you just get it. I was like, I'm going to look back in a minute and see if it just dropped. It was so mad.
I did say earlier too, we're moving on, but no one got that anyway. So they get moved to new pastures, but by now they're still running out even on those new pastures. So what happens is they bring in food from elsewhere, so lots of different things, but beets and those sorts of crops, and they get fed to them on like big strips, and the cows stand there and eat, and then that's them for the day. I kind of am really intrigued of what they do
they
for the rest of the day.
One time, yeah, because normally they're eating all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, I don't know what goes through their little brain.
Is it sustainable?
Well, beets and those sorts of crops are. We can grow them. Well, it's a bit of a waste. Like, we get more, we should be eating those beets and stuff. Right. But
yeah, I was just wondering if we could, shouldn't we be feeding the cows like insects or something?
That's probably.
Because they're trying to get us to eat insects, right? Should we feed them to the cows first?
No, but they're herbivores. I don't think they eat.
Mince it up.
But I don't think that's what their stomachs are designed for. But anyway, there might be a cow expert out there. No, I'm pretty sure that they've designed two vegetables. Only if it's a cow expert.
Moo.
I am not the cow expert.
But I said moo.
So disappointed.
But I will tell you one thing. Like, great pun, nice, but it's called Gypsy Day.
Oh, thank you very much. So not moving day.
No.
Oh.
Gypsy Day.
Okay, thank
Why
you.
Why is it called Gypsy Day? Because
gypsies move around
a bit. Feels a little bit
insensitive, if you ask me.
Yeah, I don't really like that.
Yeah, no, me neither. Okay, thanks, guys.
That's all right.
That's coming from a gypsy.
That's so. Thank you for the education, though. Now I'll know. So, yes, there's worse, though, because I think the other thing that's been fed to them in the past, which I think they're trying to move away from, is palm kernel from, palm oil, which is like, don't like that stuff. Mm. So anyway, what happens is the cows puck up the pasture. It's all wet and yucky, and then they're left standing in the mud. So it's not very nice, and what happens is it causes a few issues. So it causes sediment into the river, so not only from the crop itself, which is probably only minimal, but it also all the pucking up. Have you ever seen a field that's all been pucked up?
It's far more muddy, and I guess I'm assuming that all of this mud and mushiness just runs straight off the top. It doesn't soak in. It just runs off to the nearest stream.
Yes, and so when you drive around New Zealand and you see brown rivers, that's not what rivers are supposed to look like. And I think I was about 19 years old before I realised that. I was like,
wow.
Oh, rivers aren't supposed to be brown.
Yeah.
That is all the sediment that's run off, that creates little bits of stuff in the river which our native fish can't handle, and chokes them and whatnot, so it's not great. And then of course they're standing there peeing, and that pee runs straight into the rivers, and that has nitrates in it, which you may have also seen in the news recently, because nitrates have been getting into our groundwater. So when it does soak, it's not great in rivers, but when it does soak into the ground, what happens is it gets into our drinking water, and they've made a very strong connection between high cancer rates and colorectal cancers. So they're saying in New Zealand about 50 people are dying a year as a result of our intense dairying from this type of
cancer.
What's
the difference? I'm assuming there is the nitrate from a cow wee similar to the nitrate that gets used for preserving food in any way?
Yes.
No thanks, John. I don't know.
Yeah, but one's nitrate and one's not.
Just chuck a little cow wee on it. It'll stay good for ages.
Nitrate and nitrites?
Yes. There's a slight chemical difference in them, but I don't think they're particularly great for you to be having
your
cow-wee
keeping stuff fresh.
Mm. I mean, the thing with the human body is we can handle little bits of it, but when it starts exceeding health.
This is kind of like a low key thing, but maybe the cows have evolved to try to kind of kill us a bit with their excrement and shit.
That's deep.
It's kind of like happening. It's happening.
Maybe. Maybe we've just have a tendency to poison ourselves. We're very good at it. Anyway, not an environmental concern, but also animal welfare concerns, because it isn't very nice for them standing in mud and being wet and dirty. They get higher rates of mastitis and lameness. And also it's not very nice for pregnant cows to be giving birth in mud, which is happening this time of year. And the Vet Association have come out and said this sort of bad winter grazing isn't ideal. And I will just throw it out there that not all farms are like this.
Right.
There are farms that do have lower stocking rates, which is good news.
So, what is happening about it? Do you care?
John doesn't really scroll through the text machine.
I do care. I care.
He's like, what?
I'm fast. Let's go.
Fair enough. Federated farmers are sick of being attacked by townies like me. I don't know what to say about that, really.
Grow them,
other than
grow
like maybe
immediately.
Yeah, less cows.
I heard that if you like line your fields with hemp, it'll do a kind of a good job of like filtering at least maybe that top sediment shit from getting to the
riparian planting is a really good idea. So planting out by the alongside the rivers, strips alongside the rivers of plants.
Like a 5 meter deep sort of planting or something?
Yeah, there is a guide I think of 5 meters. I think it might actually be 5 meters. And there's funding from council to help farmers do that, but not with hemp. Problem with hemp is, remember, it's only an annual plant, so it dies for some of the year. So you need something that's going to be there for the full year. So trees are a better option. And they have the bonus of collecting and storing carbon for us as well, right? Go trees.
Trees, if you're listening, cheers.
The simplest solution here is less cows. And I don't know how many times I've said this. I mean, it must be up there.
Oh, yeah, so that's where I was
the revolution.
So change the whole fields to just... We need to get farmers into wheat, hard out. That's the future.
We need to diversify what we're doing right now. And instead of going, oh, we're quite good at the cow thing, let's just do more of it.
Clean, green,
we
New
need
Zealand.
To start going, you know, well, at what point does it no longer make economic sense? And we look back 20 and 30 years ago, this didn't happen. Winter grazing didn't happen 20 and 30 years ago. And it was also the point of like diminishing returns, where we used to make more money by putting less on the land, and now they're making less money because they're having to put more inputs into farming.
Whose fault is that? Donald's or?
Trump. What?
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 Go ahead, call it.
All right, how's it going?
Not bad, not bad. We're just talking about cows.
You need 30 metres of dense bush for riparian planting to filter anything.
30 metres, that's quite
a bit. Thank you. And do you know what the regulation is? Well, there's no law for it, but do you know what the guideline is under Fonterra's voluntary scheme at all?
Oh, Fonterra's a joke.
Yeah, we know.
Yep. No. Well, Mangrove Mitch, out of here.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, Mangrove Mitch, what up, dog?
Kia ora,
I have a funny feeling that the Fonterra voluntary scheme that they have in place might only be 5 minutes or something, like, and like the caller just pointed out, was it Mangrove Mitch? I'm a fan. 30 metres is what you need. So it's kind of like a little bit of a...
Of dense bush.
Of dense bush, not just like a few flaxes, which I think is
30 metres of dense bush.
But that's good. Bring us a little bit of bush back next to the river.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, totally. Totally. There's so many benefits to it. I just don't really understand why we wouldn't do it.
Are there any farmers out there
championing this? Absolutely.
No, are there any just like, fuck, I'm not doing cows anymore, man. This is too bad. It's too shit.
I think, I'm sure there are some, but the problem is that when there was a bit of a boom, I don't know, maybe was it about 8 years ago when milk was at its highest price, all the like banks and fertilizer companies really encouraged people to like double down and intensify. And so they borrowed more money to upgrade, and then now they're kind of stuck on this wheel where they've got a mortgage and they kind of have to keep producing at these levels. So I think there's a lot of farmers that would love to switch to something less damaging, but it's kind of too late.
Is it mostly dairy or beef? Like, where
dairy.
Is it all going? And it's going offshore,
dairy.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and it's 90%, I think, is going offshore.
I think from our milk, I looked at like a graph one time, we pay like right in the middle of what the milk is like. Our milk is sometimes like way cheaper in different places just because of... Which pisses me off, actually. If you're going to ruin your country, you might as well just make sure you haven't got cheap dairy, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, although I think that's against some of our trade rules. I don't actually think we're allowed to do that. So, I mean, as you know, we've really got ourselves into quite a bind with this one, I think. Yeah.
So what's the outcome? This issue has just popped up today on RNZ. There's a campaign around it.
Yes.
What are the outcomes they're hoping for? Is it just less cattle and get rid of winter feeding?
Yes, so it's a push to de-intensify, so less cattle. A push for regional councils to be aware, to start compliance around this, because at the moment they've just turned a blind eye. Mm. So they're basically, you know, hoping to put pressure on the councils to actually do something about it.
Mm. Where's that from?
Yeah, because they don't...
so expensive. Just grow saffron, surely.
Do you know what's really funny? I actually went and worked out on a farm for a little while. We talked to, one of the big farming companies, and the guy came and talked to us. And we said, have you thought about diversifying your farm? And he said, yeah, actually, we're researching it at the moment. He said, we're looking into goat milk. And I was like, I don't know if that's the diversifying I was thinking about. But anyway.
Goats will save
the
us,
other thing that you can do is if you're driving around New Zealand and you do see cows standing in mud, call the council. Man, if they get enough of these calls, they're going to have to go and investigate them.
Yeah,
you know.
I see what you're
so
saying.
And I've seen it before.
Oh,
I've
God,
driven
John's
around.
Looking at some pictures here. Oh,
yeah, it's not great.
Not that cows smile, but they don't look very happy.
Look how sad they are.
What's that cow needs a crane to get it out of that mud.
Yeah, it's not good.
It is up to its belly in mud.
The other thing is there is a petition online, toco, I think that's how you say it, .org.nz is calling for our, and get this, our National Super Fund is currently investing in this stuff.
Fuck's sake! Why? Why does this stuff happen?
I don't know.
Why isn't there someone else in the room when someone's signing this stuff to go, hey, dickhead, nah.
I think because there's just heaps of cronyism going on. Like, somebody knows somebody and then they're bloody signing it off and, yeah, you know. I can't wait. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Sorry, but...
If you can sign that's great, because our super fund should not be benefiting from our environmental degradation. And then the other one that I'm going to throw out there is that I think New Zealand needs certification on our dairy for best practice. So those farms that are doing 30-metre strips around their streams, those farms that they get a special little gold star, you know, and sure, it might cost us a little bit more, but I'm more than happy.
You could be on the thing, it's kind of like buying free-range eggs, that kind
sort
of
buzz.
That's turned a lot of people on to trying to buy better eggs, you know, so
absolutely.
Surely like a little thing like that would help.
And if we can kind of then claim that we've got this, you know, growth market and sustainability of dairy, which is kind of in itself, you know, a difficult thing to call.
It gives us power of choice as well. Like, we can choose. Okay, good.
Absolutely. You know? And also incentivizes farmers to shift to this better farming because people want that and they're getting some. Because at the moment, I do feel sorry for them. They get hammered by people giving them a hard time and they don't really have an option to get out. And this, you know, something like that would give them an incentive and make them feel good about what they were doing on their farm. As opposed to, because at the moment, it doesn't matter what you're doing, all your milk goes into Fonterra. You could be doing the best practice you can and it's sold at the same price as somebody who's doing the mud thing to their cows. So, yeah, that's me.
Thanks, right, Rita.
I guess this is a timely issue. I just picked up a little line in this RNZ article about winter feeding, and they said if done incorrectly, winter feeding is one of the most devastating practices you can possibly do on a farm.
Shit.
All these cows standing around in mud and standing in a river.
It looks like a crap time for every single stomach that they've got.
All of them.
All four of them.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
guys.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.